Welcome to the National Geographic Science Podcast Series. I am Barbara Quincer Coulter, Director of Research and Professional Development at National Geographic School Publishing. Our guest today is Dr. Randy Bell, Associate Professor of Science Education in the Curry School of Education at the University of Virginia. Prior to earning his doctorate in science education, Dr. Bell worked as a scientist in forest ecology and as a middle and high school science teacher. Dr. Bell teaches graduate courses in science teacher preparation and science education research. The author of more than 100 articles, chapters, and books, Dr. Bell's research focuses on teaching and learning about the nature of science and using digital technologies to facilitate effective science instruction and conceptual change. Our topic today is teaching about the nature of science. Randy, it's great to have you here today to share this very important topic with our listeners. To help everyone get on the same page, can you define the nature of science for us?
Yes. The nature of science is a multifaceted concept that includes aspects of history, sociology, and even philosophy of science. However, more practical terms, the nature of science includes concepts about what science is, the work of scientists, and the characteristics of scientific knowledge.
That sounds incredibly interesting, Randy, but also a bit daunting at times for teachers who oftentimes don't have a background in the history or philosophy of science. Can you elaborate on your description to include what elementary teachers are supposed to teach about the nature of science?
Now, that's a good point. The nature of science is a bit unfamiliar, and teaching it can seem intimidating at first. On the other hand, when you look at what state and national science standards say about the nature of science, the concept begins to take on a more realistic form. Ideas about the nature of science that are appropriate for elementary students include such things as the notion that scientific knowledge is based on evidence. So in science, ideas that are not backed by solid evidence hold little, if any, sway. Another point would be that what we know in science can change. Often this happens when we get new evidence, although sometimes our understandings change with new ways of looking at the evidence we already have. Let's see, another concept would be that scientific knowledge is the product of observation and inference, not just observation alone. Scientists cannot always directly observe what they want to know. For example, when we're talking about the structure of the atom, no scientist has ever looked inside of an atom or can see inside of an atom, and yet they've figured out a lot about what's in the interior of an atom by using indirect evidence and observation. And another point would be that science involves lots of creativity and imagination. Scientists use a variety of approaches to develop answers to their research questions, and so there is no single scientific method that all scientists follow. So these concepts may seem a bit disconnected at first, but when you look at them more closely, you realize that each one is connected to the characteristic of what we call in science education, tentativeness. That means no idea in science is so cherished as to be outside the possibility of revision or even rejection in light of new evidence.
Really, it's interesting, the idea that science can change. Won't students wonder why they should go through all the trouble to learn science if what they learn might change tomorrow?
The absence of absolutes in science shouldn't be seen as a weakness. Rather, the potential for change in science is actually one of its greatest strengths. Progress towards legitimate claims and away from erroneous ones would never be possible without the possibility of revising or rejecting those ideas that fall short of existing and new evidence. One need only look at advances in such diverse fields as medicine, agriculture, engineering, and transportation. And all of these are fields that make extensive use of the body of knowledge produced by science for verification that science really does work.
Randy, you mentioned earlier that the nature of science is included in the national standards as well as many state standards. Why all of this interest in a topic that, you know, might be unfamiliar to many teachers and students?
The nature of science is inherent to many critical issues in science education. These include the evolution creationism debate, global climate change, and even the delineation of the boundaries between science and non-science. So teaching about the nature of science helps set the context for science instruction. And a lot of teachers have reported increased student interest when they teach about science along with the more familiar content of science. Perhaps the most compelling reason for teaching the nature of science is that it is a basic component of scientific literacy. So given that our society is increasingly dependent on science and technology, it's more important than ever that students and adults develop accurate views of what science is, including the types of questions science can answer, how science differs from other disciplines, and the strengths and limitations of scientific knowledge.
Okay, so you've convinced me, and I'm sure many of our listeners, that teaching the nature of science is very, very important. But how can elementary teachers address the nature of science in ways that are engaging and really meaningful to students?
Okay, that's a really good question. At first glance, teaching about the nature of science can appear really far removed from students' daily experiences. However, research on teaching and learning about the nature of science points to some specific approaches that can help teachers make nature of science instruction both more effective and engaging. First, it's really important to realize that doing hands-on activities is not the same as teaching about the nature of science. Research has demonstrated that being explicit is central to effective nature of science instruction. Learning about the nature of science requires specific discussion and reflection on the characteristics of scientific knowledge. And it's important to remember that students are not likely to engage on this kind of reflection on their own, even when they're conducting experiments.
Well, how does this explicit instruction play out in the classroom, especially when we're focusing on the nature of science?
Well, it's really not that difficult. For instance, when students are participating in an activity that involves making observations, the teacher can make the nature of science explicit by discussing with students how important observations and other types of evidence are to scientists and their work. And keep in mind that explicit instruction is not the same thing as direct instruction. Students are not likely to develop meaningful understandings of the nature of science simply by copying and memorizing a list of concepts. Rather, students need to reflect on the nature of science after participating in activities designed to highlight particular aspects. Inquiry activities, socio-scientific issues, and episodes from the history of science can all be used effectively as context in which to introduce and reinforce the characteristics of the nature of science that we discussed earlier.
Your example of the explicit nature of science instruction involved the process skill of observation, which, you know, many teachers are doing in the classroom. Can other science process skills be used as a context for nature of science instruction?
Absolutely. In fact, linking the nature of science to process skills instruction can be really effective. Science process skills are familiar to most elementary teachers. Elementary students are taught to observe, measure, infer, classify, and predict as part of typical science instruction. By explicitly addressing nature of science concepts in lessons involving process skills, students can learn about science as they learn the skills necessary to do science. Thus, any science process skills lesson is a potential lesson about the nature of science.
And that's a really key point that you just mentioned that resonated with me, that students can learn about science as they learn the skills necessary to do science. Now let's go into our program, National Geographic Science. And what guidance can teachers find in the program to help them teach about the nature of science?
Well, one thing is the incredible photographs that are included throughout the curriculum. These photographs were specifically selected to encourage students to observe and infer and connect these process skills to the nature of science. Also, there's examples of how nature of science tenets may be explicitly linked to process skills and hands-on activities in the teacher's guide. So we have examples of how to do the type of effective instruction we've been talking about today. There are Think Like a Scientist sections that describe scientists in action and relate science content to the nature of science. There's also guidance for teachers to use inquiry activities as a springboard for nature of science discussions. And finally, there's a Meet a Scientist feature provides concrete examples of scientific study around the world. So as you can see, Barbara, it's not just one feature, but many features working together that provide a really powerful resource for teachers who want to integrate nature of science instruction in all of their science lessons.
And those are excellent examples that really lay out how teachers can teach the nature of science with our program, National Geographic Science. And as we wrap up this podcast, Randy, what advice do you want to leave with our listeners so they can better understand and teach about the nature of science?
Just remember that the ultimate goal of science instruction is to prepare your students to become informed citizens in a scientifically based society. So by engaging students in scientific inquiry and then helping them reflect on the nature of science, you'll be preparing the next generation of scientifically literate citizens for the challenges of tomorrow.
Wow, what a powerful message. And thank you so much for your time today, Randy. I think our listeners are now better prepared to really unlock the process of teaching the nature of science. And listeners out there, if you want to learn more about teaching the nature of science, Randy provided an excellent bibliography of additional resources at the end of his author. Thanks for listening to our National Geographic Science podcast series. For more information, check out the National Geographic Science Professional Development website for additional tools and ongoing support to help you bring science alive in your classroom.